We begin with the persistent mystery surrounding Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 that has put new scrutiny on civil aviation monitoring systems globally and those that are the responsibility of individual nations like Malaysia. It appears that nearly every detail now emerging in the investigation of the disappearance more than a week ago of the Boeing 777 points to a deliberate act of concealment and diversion by an individual or individuals with sophisticated knowledge of the communication systems on board a jetliner. Whoever was responsible for disabling 370's signaling systems seems to have understood that a blind spot could be created in the skies. Now the rest of the world seems to understand that something about an international blind spot that we didn't know before is emerging. Joining us is aviation security analyst Chris Yates, joining us from the UK. Mr. Yates, welcome to the program.
Hello, John.
Would you say there is a blind spot and that countermeasures possibly engineered from within an airplane could make a jetliner, a 777, invisible?
Well, essentially, this airplane became a hole in the sky immediately that the systems that identify it were turned off aboard. So quite clearly, there is a significant issue here that has effectively blindsided the investigators looking into the disappearance of this airplane.
Why would such signaling systems even be turn-offable, to use a bad bit of phrasing there? But why would you ever be able to negate them?
Well, there's a very good reason for negating or turning off any of the technology that's on board an airplane, and that is for pure safety reasons. If, for example, a fire took hold in one bit of the circuitry, and then essentially you'd have to immediately terminate all power to that part of the system to help to contain the fire. So all of the systems on board an aircraft can be turned off individually, separately, in the event of such an incident.
But based on your understanding of the technology, to do something like that would understandably arouse suspicion on the part of the crew. It's not something you could quietly do while no one was looking, yes?
It's not something that can quietly be done, so it has to have been done deliberately. The Malaysian Prime Minister said as much on Saturday when he made his dramatic announcement that first the ACARS system, the data transfer, if you will, between the aircraft and ground had been deliberately turned off, and subsequently the transponder system was turned off. And therein lies a debate. Why on earth do you need to do that? Why on earth was it done? And what happened to the aircraft thereafter?
Is there something about the way the Malaysians have dealt with this investigation that makes you suspect that maybe their security protocols aren't up to snuff here? Or is it something about the unprecedented nature of turning off these systems that would constitute a kind of stealth, that basically, because no one would do such a thing, you wouldn't notice it?
There is something, at least suspect, in the Malaysian handling of the situation, in so much as, you know, when the aircraft was flying, once the systems had been turned off, then one imagines that the military most certainly would have had a track on the aircraft to identify where it was going. In other words, a primary radar return from the aircraft to indicate that it was still airborne and going in entirely a different direction. And that should have raised a warning bell that something was awry. And then ultimately, of course, the fighter jet should have been lofted and the ultimate step taken of shooting the aircraft down if it wasn't responding. That is the sequence of events that has been in place, a process that's been in place since 9/11, amongst all countries in the world. If you have a jet flying toward you at a rate of knots with no apparent person in control, it is shot down.
Now, that was the expectation, though, on 9/11, even on some level, certainly for lay people, that you don't just invade someone's airspace without there being some kind of a response. Is it possible that there are just so many planes in the air at any given moment that the ability to actually sort out the signal from the noise is very, very difficult, and that you can't expect to immediately scramble fighter jets without the risk of some error?
Well, that is a possibility, of course, but more than likely, and the failure here might well be down to Malaysia's control of the airspace in a military fashion. In other words, was somebody actually looking at the radar screens at the time? Were they actually paying any due attention to anything that was coming at them? Or was it just a case that something like this hasn't happened before? It's not probably not going to happen. So why do I, as a radar person, need to pay any attention at all times?
Speaking to us from the UK, Chris Yates is an aviation security analyst. Now, as the notion of a deliberate act here gathers currency, the options for that plane would have been to land somewhere if there was someone actually in control of it. What is the chance that you could bring a Boeing 777 down somewhere and not be detected?
Well, yeah, that's one assumption. The other assumption, of course, is that the co-pilot might well, or the pilot might well, have been intent on committing suicide and taking the plane and all of its passengers with him. We simply don't know at the moment the whereabouts of the plane, and because of that, the search continues as to the possible location, whether it be on a runway somewhere, which I happen to think it isn't, by the way, or whether indeed it has crashed into either jungle or at sea. And of the two, I come down on the latter.
Chris Yates is an aviation security analyst. We want to bring in someone who was asking precisely the questions of what would the options have been for a plane flying more than a week ago in that part of the world to actually come down without crashing. Noah Veltman is developer and journalist with the WNYC Data News team. Now, you've published, Noah, first of all, welcome.
Hi, John.
You've published a map that shows all of the actual available runways, official runways, that were of a length sufficient to allow a 777 to land. How many options, official options, did that plane have at the moment that it was flying?
We found 634 runways that, with an aggressive estimate, were long enough to land a 777 and were also within the range that, as of Friday, people were estimating it could have continued flying from the point it was last spotted.
People have shared this information all over the world, partly as a way of asking themselves questions of what might have caused this plane to disappear. Where could it have ended up? Isn't it the case, though, that these 600 or so options are precisely the ones we now must rule out? Because if it came down at an actual official airstrip, someone would have noticed and reported it.
Well, that's certainly another aspect of the data that you have to consider, is most of these runways are at large international airports or at the sort of airstrip that you're never going to land a 777 without people seeing it. But it's not necessarily the case for all of them. Many of them are in remote areas, and so it's one of many things we just wouldn't know.
Chris Yates, bearing in mind that you just said that your assumption is that this plane was probably brought down deliberately and not on an airstrip, looking at that map of Noah Veltman, can you rule out all those little red dots as a possible destination for this plane, Flight 370?
No, I don't think anybody can rule out any aspect of the investigation thus far. It's possible, of course, that it has been brought down on a runway somewhere, possibly somewhere very remote, and that the passengers are being held hostage, but then there's been no claim of responsibility, and therefore that leads me to believe that this is not a prospect that's going to, or an event that is going to end happily at all.
Chris Yates, finally, before we go, is there the chance that a pilot without instruments could bring down a 777 on a six-lane highway somewhere completely off the radar, quite literally?
No, is the short answer. The likelihood of it being brought down on a six-lane highway, assuming there was a six-lane highway anywhere around that part of the world, is quite remote, to say the least.
Chris Yates is an aviation security analyst who spoke with us from the UK. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Also, thanks to Noah Veltman, developer and journalist with the WNYC Data News Team. You can see the map that they created of all of the official runway options for Flight 370 at thetakeaway.org. Noah, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.